Happy New Year and welcome to the first Trev and Ben podcast of 2021. Happy New Year, Ben.
Happy New Year, Trev. Happy 2021.
Well, you say happy 2021. We shall see. Shall we? What is before us in the year? You know, at the end of a year, it's very rare that I get to the end of a year where I don't say I'm glad to see the back of that year. And let's be honest, we were all incredibly glad to see the back of 2020. But the thing is, I've just got this feeling we're going to get to the end of 2021 and we'll still be going, oh, thank Christ, that's over.
Well, 2021, the bar is low for it, isn't it? I mean, it's not going to be hard to beat 2020, the worst year in living memory.
Well, yeah, that's very true, yeah. And on the day of recording this, Boris is going to be addressing us this evening. And I've got a feeling he's going to say, stay indoors.
You think it's going to go back into lockdown?
Well, I think so. I mean, I'm in tier four still, which is basically lockdown. So I've got a feeling he's going to basically say, stay indoors, you know, don't go out.
I don't want to get political or anything, and this really isn't a political statement or anything, just the fact that I feel this constant merry-go-round of what tier we're in. It just seems like it's all a bit a wishy-washy approach. Just commit to something and stick to it.
Yeah.
I appreciate that if the situation changes, you've got to change as well, but maybe just lock us down and keep us in for a substantial amount of time.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll wait and see what he says. Anyway, how was Christmas?
Christmas was different this year. It was the first Christmas Day I have not seen any of my family face-to-face, other than Mrs. Ben, of course.
When we spoke at Christmas, you were going to have your doorstep Christmas dinner delivery. How did that go?
That was great. That came on the 24th.
It came?
Yeah, so I actually didn't see anybody face-to-face Christmas Day, so that was all great. But the mum took care of all the Christmas food, which was delicious, and saved me a job on Christmas Day, and a bunch of presents as well, which was nice.
Nice, what did you get?
I got some cooking-related stuff I was quite keen on getting.
What sort of cooking-related stuff? Are we talking ingredients, or are we talking crockery?
We're talking equipment. Now, this is going to sound as boring as old dishwater to some people, but I asked, not only was delighted to get this, I actually asked for this. Brace yourself.
Go on.
A wire rack with a fitting tray.
God. I mean, I was hoping to start the first podcast of the new year with some real drive, enthusiasm, excitement. And what have you got? What
I got? I got a wire rack that goes into a tray. So now I can cook things on a wire rack in the oven and the heat can go all the way around.
Wow.
And not only that, if you think that's boring, yeah. I can spice it up a bit.
Really? Can you?
I got two. I got two of them.
And what do you cook on these? What are they for?
Well, you can cook anything on it. You could cook chicken on it, steak on it. You could maybe even cool a cake on it.
You can cool a cake on it.
Yeah.
Wow. And but I mean, sorry, I've got to ask you, what is it? It's a grill.
It's like if you imagine a wire rack that you can sit a cake on to cool it down.
Yeah.
But it fits perfectly into a tray so it can catch all the juices and stuff and it won't make a mess of your oven.
I see.
You see?
Right, okay. Well, it's a great present. I'm sure very practical.
And I also got something I was very excited by, which was a cooking book.
By who?
It's a guy who I discovered during 2020 called Sam the Cooking Guy.
Mentioned him on a podcast once.
I'm sure I have. I have watched hours, probably days of his content during 2020. And I just absolutely love him. And he brought out a recipe, a cookbook, which is called Recipes with Intentional Leftovers. So you make one big main meal, and then the next few days you can turn the leftovers into other recipes. It's great.
Oh, okay. I thought for a minute there that was basically a book where he says, here's a recipe for like chili con carne, double it, there's some for tomorrow.
it's a bit more well thought out than that.
Laziest cookbook ever. Well, it sounds very exciting, mate. It sounds like you've got can the recipes be cooked on the tray thing? Clearly, can you use then the juices as part of a leftover recipe?
You see, you're thinking outside the box now.
You know, you might be able to use that. Let's say you're cooking a goose and the goose fat and the juices then go into the tray, that tray could then be used for tomorrow's roast potatoes.
Or you could take that collected juice and make a gravy.
Make a gravy. He's onto something.
And he is.
These trays have suddenly taken on a whole new light, to be honest.
If you want to check him out, YouTube, Sam the Cooking Guy. It's my biggest highlight of 2020, other than getting the trays, of course.
Yeah, well, and what else did you get? Or was that it? Was that like the highlight? Because I know that you and Mrs. Ben weren't doing presents. Did Mrs. Ben renege on that deal when you found yourself in an awkward situation?
Thank God, no, she didn't. We stuck to that.
Okay, fair enough.
I got a pair of wireless headphones from the parents, which were very nice and very handy, because my other pair of wireless headphones had just broken in one ear, so it was very good timing.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like you've had a very bountiful Christmas.
It was great. I cannot complain. You?
Well, I didn't get huge amounts of gifts. I'll tell you what I did get a lot of, and sort of things that I really like. There's one thing I get every year that I love, because I never really buy it for myself. And this is probably going to sound to you as weird as your tray sounded to me to start with. I always get a bar of Pears soap.
Is that pear-scented soap, I assume?
No, it's not pear-scented. Pears is the make.
Oh, Pears is the brand, okay.
But it does have I can't describe the smell of Pears soap. If you know of Pears soap, you know what I'm talking about. It's a very distinctive smell the Pears soap has. And it always makes me think of Christmas, because I always get a bar at Christmas. And it always reminds me of my nan. My nan used to have Pears soap. And the nice thing about it is it stays with you all day, that smell. You know, like some soaps, you have your shower and you don't smell of the soap for the rest of the day. The Pears soap, that stays with you for the rest of the day.
Yeah, I mean, I mean this with all the love and respect in the world, but yeah. do you really want to be smelling like your nan?
I'm just not smelling. Well, I'm not smelling like my nan.
I mean, is it quite an old person's soap?
I wouldn't. Well,
did you get a bag of Werther's Originals with it?
No, I did get a chocolate snowman with it. I don't know. I mean, Pear soap is great. It's an old soap. It goes back a long way. I'll tell you what I've got on my fridge. I've got a collection of Pears soap fridge magnets, which are magnets of their old sort of advertising posters from the, I guess, like the 1920s, 30s, that sort of time.
Yeah, I thought I was right to think it was an old person's thing.
So, but it's a nice thing. So I got some Pears soap. I got a couple of books for Christmas. One book I got is it's something that I didn't know there was a book about.
Okay.
And it's the Thornton Heath Poltergeist.
Right. I'm so glad you threw in the word poltergeist then, because my attention was dropping off rapidly. I thought it was going to be a history of the road names of Thornton Heath or something weird.
I've already got
into
a book like that.
Of course you do.
I've already got a book about the history of Thornton Heath and the roads and that sort of thing. But this is one about the poltergeist. Now, the thing about the poltergeist is the person who gave me the book didn't know that I knew about it. It's in the road that my nan used to live in, which is just around the corner from me. So I remember as a kid being told about this poltergeist in a house just down the road from where she lived. And it's sort of like quite a famous thing, this poltergeist. And my nan used to tell me, not that it was in the time when she lived there, because this was back in the, I think in the sort of 30s when the poltergeist was the big thing in this house. But I can, you know, the house is still there. I know which house it is. And I often sort of look at it as I go by, think, oh, I wonder if there's still a poltergeist in there. And I was talking to my mum. I said, oh, you won't believe it. I've been given this book about the Thornton Heath poltergeist. And she then went on to tell me this story that there was a very old lady who lived down my nan's road, and my nan used to do shopping for this elderly lady. And she'd lived there during the time when all the Thornton Heath poltergeist thing was really kicking off, because it was all making the papers and everything. It was like the, do you remember we talked about the Enfield haunting a while back?
That was the two little girls, wasn't it?
The two little girls. It was sort of as big as that at the time. You know, it was like a big deal, this poltergeist. And apparently this elderly lady used to talk about them even digging up the front garden of this house while they were investigating the Thornton Heath poltergeist. I'm assuming that perhaps they thought there was some body.
Oh, sorry, there. You meant the police were digging it up. I thought you meant the poltergeist was digging it up.
No, well, maybe that's what my mum meant. I don't know. I've got to read the book now to find out. That'd be amazing if the poltergeist was... If like, when you just wake up one morning and your front garden's been dug up and you just go, oh, it must be the poltergeist done that.
So whatever... I'm probably jumping the gun a bit here with the story, but what happened with the poltergeist? Was it ever exorcised or is it still there to this day?
I don't know. I've got to read the book now to find out. I mean, I've not heard of it mentioned in recent times. It's always been mentioned in sort of historical terms, you know, whenever I've heard about this poltergeist. So I've got a feeling it might be that it's sort of not there anymore.
Okay, so you know the exact house this poltergeist haunted.
I do. And the thing was, when I say I know the exact house, I knew roughly where it was, and my mum, recently when I asked her about it, she said, oh, I can tell you exactly which house it is. So I now know exactly which house it is. I was never entirely sure. I knew roughly where it was in the road, but I didn't know exactly which house it is, but now I do.
You know what I think would be really nice, and you don't have to do this by any means, especially if we're in lockdown, but once you finish the book, you should knock on the door and just say, I'm not sure if you're aware of the history of this house, but you might want to read this.
Would you want to read it if you lived in that house? I mean, I would.
I think I would, yeah.
Yeah, but some people that might really freak them out.
What would your reaction be if someone knocked on the door, handed you an officially published book that said all this history about your house and a ghost? Wouldn't you want to know, or would that freak you out?
I don't think it would freak me out. I mean, not that long ago, I got a letter through my door, and it was from someone in Australia doing some family history, right? And it said the last known address of this relative we're looking up is your address. Do you know anything? And the weird thing is, the house I live in, I know quite a lot of its history. I can probably go back to certainly the early 1950s and know who's lived in this house.
Wow.
Even earlier, I think, my family know about people who've lived in my house. And the weird thing is that the date they mentioned was sort of just before the people we know lived in this house. But then it talked about someone dying in this house. And that freaked me out for a little bit. Just, you know, you just sort of think, oh, that's a bit weird. Like, did they die in, like, the room I sleep in? That gets into your head a little bit.
I don't want to jinx myself, but I can say with absolute certainty that nobody has ever died in my house.
You know that for absolute certainty?
Yeah, I believe the people who lived here before us lived in it since it was built.
Well, it's quite a new build, isn't it, yours?
Since the 80s, I think.
Right.
And then we took it over. So unless they had a dying relative stay with them for a while and kick the bucket, I can say with some confidence, I'm pretty sure no one's ever died here.
Well, see, my house was built in about 1900. And I believe the person that they talked about dying in this house died in about, what did I think it was, about 1912, something like that.
This is taking quite a dark turn for our Happy New Year podcast. We're back, big return, isn't it?
But then the weird thing is, I used to have friends stay over, and my friend's wife was never too keen of sleeping in my house. She found it a little bit creepy, I think. I think at that time, my spare bedroom was still quite full of sort of stuff from the past. So, I mean, it could be quite a freaky room, I suppose, if you weren't used to that stuff. But then it made me think, I wonder if she felt a presence.
Well, I mean, speaking as someone who's been to your house multiple times, you do, I don't know if it's frugality or what's going on, but you do seem to keep it in quite an eerie, dark aesthetic. Well, it's like only the room you're sat in is even half lit.
Oh, I don't, yeah. I mean, that's just an economic and environmental decision. They only have lights on in the room you're in. It seems such a waste to have lights on anywhere else in the house.
Yes, and, although it does mean I don't feel it's my my right to go around switching all your lights on, but it does mean I've almost killed myself a number of times coming down the stairs.
Well, no, you're very well. I mean, if you're going up the stairs, you're very welcome to turn the light on. It's not like I preclude people from turning lights on.
I don't even know where the light is.
There's a switch. The great thing is when people do try to turn the lights on to go up the stairs, is there's three switches to choose from. And I always love watching the palaver that goes on as they turn the outside light on, the downstairs hall light on, before they work out it's the middle one for the upstairs hall. Yeah, I mean, my house it's not by any means a modern house. I've modernised it a little bit in recent times. I've decorated a couple of rooms and brightened them up and, you know, but yeah, I haven't really gone for a modernisation, and I've still got quite a lot of old furniture. You know, I've got sort of quite old furniture that came from my nan's house. I've got my great aunt's sideboard, which is probably from the 1940s. You know, I've got quite a lot of old furniture.
Yeah, that'll smell lovely when the old Pears soap starts lathering up.
But it doesn't. There's nothing freaky about the furniture. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. There's nothing that would freak you out about that furniture. It's furniture that, to me, only has happy memories. It reminds me of those relatives. It reminds me of the fun times I had. I mean, the sideboard, right? That's got very happy memories.
For God's sake, you're easily pleased, aren't you?
Well, no, it's great because it was almost like, as a kid, because it's quite a big sideboard, so it was always exciting to go and get the glasses out of the sideboard for, if we like Christmas, for example. You know, it's a Trev, go and get the glasses out for the dinner table. You'd open this big sideboard and you'd get the glasses out, and it was always quite exciting. And they always had like a mug for me and my brother. Mine was a mug with a dragon on.
That this is the most tragic story I've ever heard.
I don't know where this is tragic. It's a lovely story from my childhood.
Most people have memories of excitement, running downstairs to their presents on Christmas morning. Has Santa been? Yes, he has. Look, a bite's out of the carrot. The mince pie's gone. He's had some of his milk or his gin or whatever's been left out of Santa. But your beloved, cherished childhood memories of Christmas morning.
One of them.
Is being asked to remove glasses from a sideboard.
No, not only at Christmas, like other times of the year, like when I came to my great aunt and uncle, they would say, oh, you know, would you like a glass of lemonade? Get your glass out the sideboard. Then that would be like, it was an exciting thing. And so, yeah, I don't see, there's no problem with enjoying a bit of furniture. I'll tell you what else I've got in the room I'm sitting in right now, which doesn't work. I can't get it to work. It hasn't even got a modern plug on it. But it's my nan's radiogram from the 1940s. And when my nan passed away, I couldn't let that go. I'm sitting right next to it now. And it's got a very old plug on it. I can't plug it in. I'm sure I can make it work one day. And that's sort of in the plan that one day I'll get a modern plug put on it.
Yes, but this is your approach to everything. Whether your nan had passed away or not, you'd still be clinging onto that thing. You just hoard absolutely everything.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing about this radiogram, it's again, like, it's a child. That was like a thing. I'd go around and we'd put an old 78 record on. You pull the record player out of a little, it's sort of in a drawer. You pull the record player out, put an old record on. And it was a magical thing to me, this radiogram. So to have it now, just, it's a wonderful thing. I'll tell you what else I've got, which I've no use.
Weren't we talking about the poltergeist?
Well, no, you've started to talk about things in my house.
Yes, I did. It was my fault, crash of a tangent.
I've got two of these and I don't know what to do with them. One was my nan's and one was my great aunt's. They were both dressmakers going back to the 1940s, and they both had these Treadle Singer sewing machines that sort of drop down into this sort of little table. And I've got two of these. One's in the shed and one's upstairs. And I think that they will probably go at some point, but it just seems like to take them to the dump seems such a horrible thing. Do you know what I mean? A charity shop ain't interested in them. I tried even to take them to an old sewing machine shop, see if they'd be interested in having them as a historic piece. They went, no. And like, they these were like, you know, they'd make their own dresses on them. It was like their craft. It was their trade. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've got this image of you sitting alone on New Year's Eve in one of your granny's dresses in a dimly lit room, staring longingly at the cupboard with the glasses in it. It's just like rocking.
So I'm like Norman Bates out of Psycho.
Yeah.
So did you watch much telly over Christmas, Ben?
Honestly, I didn't. I remembered it about 3:10 on Christmas Day. It was the Queen's speech, and managed to get the final sentence of that. When
didn't
I
watch any
the
of her this year. I missed the Queen entirely.
I couldn't give a toss about the Queen's speech, but Mrs. Ben was quite keen on watching it, so we missed that. And I can't honestly say I watched any Christmas TV this year.
Did you see the Channel 4 alternative Christmas speech, which was like a deep fake Queen? Got lots of complaints.
I saw it and didn't really understand why it was being called a deepfake, because they hadn't changed the face or anything. It was just a different voice.
Well, yeah, that's the idea, isn't it? That you could, I mean, the impression, I didn't watch it all, I saw a clip of it, the impression wasn't great. But I mean, if you had a spot on impression of the Queen, you could, that's the whole idea. The deepfake is you could have totally got away with that being a genuine message from the Queen.
Had they bothered to morph the lips or anything, or was it just sort of one of those videos where they just sync words that kind of fit with the movement she's already doing?
No, it was completely made to look as if the Queen was delivering whatever was being said.
So okay, and why did it garner so many complaints?
Well, because people said it was disrespectful, because I think she did she do a dance, I think. And I guess, I didn't see it, so I guess some of the things she said, but yeah, but I guess the old traditionalists, you know, the people that think you shouldn't take the mickey out of the Queen in any way, shape or form, would have got very upset by that.
Oh. No, I think anyone is fair game for piss-taking.
Well, I didn't watch that much telly over Christmas, but I tell you what I did watch. I ended up watching a lot of kids' films over Christmas. I mean, I think Christmas is for kids' films, even if you're an adult. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, the other night we were on the phone and you were telling me about some of the things you've watched.
Yeah.
And
when I watched,
strange,
I watched a lot of kids' stuff, and I also managed to see some films that I've never got round to watching that I thought this year I'll actually watch. So the kids' films I watched, which were Zootropolis, which I don't know what day it was on, but it was, I think it's a Disney film, and it's about a rabbit who becomes a police officer and ends up having to work alongside a fox. I mean, I thought that was quite good. It's quite a good film, just nice and easy film to put in the afternoon.
Okay, I've not heard of it, so I'll take your word for it.
Okay, then I thought I should watch Frozen.
Ah, yes, never seen it.
Well, again, do you remember when we had Dave Chawner on and we got talking about Disney films?
Yes.
And I think we can all agree, there are, you know, great Disney films, Aladdin, Lion King, Jungle Book, all those magnificent Disney films, right? And I got to an age, I suppose, where I stopped watching new Disney films. I think after Lion King, and that's going back to, what, 94 or something like that.
Yeah.
I probably stopped watching new Disney films. I've never seen Mulan, Pocahontas, Moana.
Well, Toy Story, that must have been, what, 96, 97?
All right, Toy Story, I've seen. I took a go on our first date to see the first Toy Story film.
That's a good, I'd be pleased with that date.
Yeah, well, I think she was. I think she was quite pleased. I then took her to sit on a park bench and drink some ciders out of a can. So it may have gone, downhill a little bit there.
Yeah.
But you know, Toy Stories I've watched, and you can't argue with those, can you, really? But I'd never sort of watched Frozen, and I thought, well, there's a film that over the last few years everyone's gone on about. Do you know what I mean? Everyone's gone on about Frozen. It's amazing. You must watch it. So I thought, well, it's on, I'll watch it.
And do you enjoy it?
I was a bit disappointed with it, to be
really
honest. I mean, it's good. There's some nice moments, but I didn't feel there was enough for the adults. Like, I think, you know, in The Lion King and Aladdin, you've got enough humour there for adults alongside all the stuff for the kids, right? You got a few bits in Frozen, but I didn't feel there was enough for the grown-up.
I'm not sure that too childish is a fair criticism of a child's film.
I'm not saying it was too childish. I'm just saying, you know, that for the adult, I think there should be... All right, it was too childish. There should be more humour for the adult.
Right, okay.
So I watched that. I also watched... this is a film that I've recorded probably every year for the last 3 or 4 years and then just deleted because I've never got round to watching it. I finally watched The Sound of Music.
Now, I'm aware of The Sound of Music. I have seen bits of it. It reminds me of very old, bored memories. I think the idea of, in 2020, sitting down to watch The Sound of Music, I would rather you individually tear my fingernails out.
Well, the thing about it is, I think the thing that's always put me off actually watching it is it's bloody long. I mean, it's about, I don't know, it's 2 hours, 40 minutes or something. So it's a long old film, right? And so that's always put me off. But because this Christmas, I've just, you know, not been able to really see many people. You think, well, I can afford to give 2 hours, 40 minutes to this film. But let's face it, it's, I don't know, 50 years old now. It's obviously still a classic. People still love it. So I should give this at least some of my attention for once. Right.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't really get what the fuss is about. I mean, it's all right. I'll tell you one thing that shocked me is I knew far more of the songs than I felt comfortable with. You know, you sort of, another song comes, you think, how do I know this? Why do I know this song? It shows how much that film has found itself so deeply ingrained in our culture.
I reckon I could name two.
Go on.
The Hills Are Alive with The Sound of Music, obviously.
Yeah. I was going to burst into song then, and I thought,
please don't.
I won't. I'm so close.
And Edelweiss.
Edelweiss, right? Okay. I'll tell you one reason I wasn't going to burst into song is because I found this. Here's a weird thing I found out recently, and I can't remember where I found this out. I was listening to a podcast, I think, and whatever I was listening to, they were talking about "I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here." And I guess the person had been on it or something. And what they were saying was, if you are in the jungle and you're talking to another celebrity who's in the jungle with you, but what you're saying to them you don't want to be broadcast, you just get somebody else to sing some Disney songs in the background, because ITV won't pay for the rights to have those songs sung. I didn't know that just by singing them, you could actually breach some copyright thing.
Surely not.
But apparently so. I heard this recently. Maybe that's not true.
So you're worried that by you giving a rendition of the chorus of The Sound of Music...
Well, it's not a Disney film, is it? But I mean, I'm just saying that it could... Or is it a Disney film? No, I don't think it's a Disney film. But, but you know, I could find myself... like. I don't know, Julie Andrews could suddenly slap me with a writ.
I mean, this is with all the respect and love in the world, but is she still with us?
Oh, yeah, she's still going, old Julie Andrews. She's in her 80s now, I think. And so is Christopher Plummer, who's in it. So anyway, I bet you could name, there's a couple of other songs I'm sure you'd know. Right? So
maybe,
what have you mentioned? So Edelweiss you've mentioned.
Yeah, the main theme, The Hills Are Alive with The Sound of Music.
A Doe a Deer, a female.
Of course, deer. Yes.
So
yeah.
You must know that one. What is it? Something like 16 going on 17?
Yes, I know that one.
These Are a Few of My Favourite Things.
Of course.
So
wow.
Suddenly there's 5 songs in there. That's probably all the songs in the whole fucking film, because they keep coming back to them. the other one, of course, which I know you'll know, is... Goodbye, you know, farewell.
Oh, yes.
Just saying goodbye. You know,
yeah.
That one as well.
Blimey.
So it's amazing. These songs suddenly crop up. Fucking hell, I know that one. I know that.
Do you ever wonder what audience we're aiming for exactly with this podcast? Here we are, first podcast of the new year, rattling off hits from The Sound of Music.
Somebody once asked me, said, who's your podcast for?
It's a good question.
So, I don't know. Just anyone who can be bothered to listen.
We'll have anyone. We're not picky.
Yeah. There's not really any central theme to our podcast. But I'll tell you the other thing about The Sound of Music. So I'm watching it, and there's far fewer Nazis in it than I thought there was going
to
be.
Isn't, I mean, spoiler alert. Can I give a spoiler alert to a film that's been out for about 60 years?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, don't the Von Trapp children have to escape the Nazis by... running over a hill or something at the end?
Well, yes, but I mean, it really is the end. I thought, like, the Nazis only really come into the film for the probably the last 10, 15 minutes. And I was, like, the whole way through, I'm thinking, where are the Nazis? Like, I'm actually cheering for Nazis. I'm actually going, come on, where are the Nazis? Bring the Nazis on. I want to see some Nazis. Well, there's not enough Nazis in it for my liking. But but the ending is really disappointing, because you're right, they do have to escape the Nazis.
And I'm just thinking, when we tweet out each week a little sort of teaser highlight of the contents of the podcast, I'll be really disappointed if in this week's tweet it doesn't say, and this week Trev's cheering on the Nazis.
I don't think I will, because people don't look for context when it comes to a tweet.
No.
You'll find that we've been cancelled before 2021's really started. But at the end of the film, and this is a spoiler, which you've already done, really, but yeah, they escape. But I think their escape's really shit, because they drive off, because I think their first escape route they can't do. So then they just end up on the hills. You think, well, where are you going? You can't just live out the war in the hills, can you? I mean, there's no real conclusion to the film. They've got to the hills and that's it. They can't just run along the hills for the next 6 years of the war singing. There needs to be more to it than that.
Okay, I think that's fair.
So anyway, that was a... And the other film I watched that I'd never got around to was North by Northwest, the Alfred Hitchcock film.
Yeah, you were telling me about this the other day on the phone, and it sounded faintly ridiculous, the plot.
Well, it was. I mean, I love Alfred Hitchcock films generally, but I was a little bit disappointed with this. I mean, the plot is ludicrous. I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous. It's a man who's mistaken for a spy and then mistaken for an assassin. And he's so calm throughout the whole thing. I was just thinking, surely the first time he's kidnapped because people have mistaken him for a spy, you'd be kicking up a little bit more of a fuss than he did. You wouldn't sort of start actually getting involved in the espionage and everything that's going along with it.
No, I don't think you would. So, I mean, how old is this
film?
He does
go to the police. He does go to the police, but they don't believe him. And I mean, it's a good film. It's a Hitchcock film. It's probably made in the 50s, I would guess, late 50s, early 60s.
Okay.
It's in colour, so that shouldn't put you off watching.
One Hitchcock film which I've always wanted to get around to watching, and I don't know why I haven't, because I'm sure I own it somewhere on DVD, just have never got around to actually watching it, is Strangers on a Train.
Yes. So do you know the plot line to that one?
I know it in the vaguest sense, which is that two strangers meet on a train. They both are aware that they've got problems in life that need solving. They both want somebody murdered, and they decide to ask the stranger to murder their person for them, so that there'll be nothing that connects them to the victim or the murderer, and it'll look like a sort of random killing, and they take care of each other's problems, and that's all I know about it.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen it now. It rings a distant bell, so I may have done.
So can I ask what spurred you on really to have this urge to watch all of these older films?
Well, I just think that there are films that you should watch, do you know what I mean? Like, I remember years ago finally watching Citizen Kane, because that was the film everyone told me that you must watch. You must see Citizen Kane. It's one of those films that it's such a groundbreaking piece of art.
Isn't it quite boring?
Oh, I fucking hated it. I mean, it goes on and nothing happens. And I just thought, why does everyone bang on about this fucking film as if it's so good? Now, apparently it was very groundbreaking in the way it was shot and that sort of thing. Great. You know, Orson Welles, very good in it. But it's the dullest film, and I couldn't wait for it to finish. I can't even remember it. I mean, it all finishes. It's something about a fucking toboggan in the end. I mean, I don't know what
it's about. A toboggan?
Oh, there's something about a toboggan called Rosebud or something. I mean, honestly, it's such an overrated film. But that's just my opinion. I mean, there'll be film buffs going, how dare you say that? It's amazing. But, you know, there are films that I feel you should watch. And and I suppose The Sound of Music and North by Northwest, these are films I've never seen. And, you know, I'm sort of middle-aged now, and you sort of think, well, you know, I don't want to go to my grave having never seen these films. I should make sure I see these. These are the films that are held up as the greatest films of all time, whether I then agree with it or not. But I should at least give them my attention.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I wonder how many other great ones you've got to catch up with.
There's probably a few more Hitchcock ones that I should watch. I don't think I've ever seen Rear Window in its entirety.
Okay.
That's supposed to be a classic. Got Jimmy Stewart in, and Raymond Burr plays the... I don't know if he's the murderer in the end or not, because I've never seen it, so I don't know. But there's probably, yeah, loads of great films that I've never seen, probably, that I should watch.
Okay. I mean, and have you seen any newer Christmas releases?
I don't know about newer Christmas releases. I did watch a film called Knives Out, which was very good. That was sort of a film from last year, which is kind of like an Agatha Christie type plot. It's quite funny. That's a good film. But yeah, I didn't watch too many sort of modern things. I sort of caught up with a lot of old stuff, which, you know, I mean, I like a good black and white movie. I tell you my favourite black and white movie, and we normally do recommendations at the end, but I'll do some recommendations now. If you've never seen this film, you should make an effort to watch it. It's a film called Harvey, and it's a black and white film, Ben, and I know you don't like black and white, but...
Not ideally, you know.
You've got to watch it. Again, it's Jimmy Stewart, and he plays a man called... Edward P. Dowd, I think the character's name is. And he's got his imaginary... Well, it's not an imaginary friend to him, but he's got a six-foot white rabbit who accompanies him around called Harvey.
I'll be honest, mate, you're losing me.
And he's called, I think he's a pooka, which is sort of the name for an imaginary friend. And then he ends up being sectioned by his sister. But it's such a warm film. And the Jimmy Stewart character...
A warm film? It sounds like one man's descent into madness.
Well, it might be. It might be. But it's a lovely film. And the Jimmy Stewart character, he's just... You just can't help but be charmed by him, like him. You want to believe this rabbit exists. You know, he's not doing anyone any harm. And I love that film. And I haven't got it anymore on a viewable thing. I've got it on a VHS. But I need to get it on a DVD because it's not shown on telly. I don't know when the last time that was shown on telly, but it should be shown more. It should be up there every year with the films they show every year. Harvey should be on at Easter, probably. Every Easter, Harvey should be on BBC One on prime time.
Okay. You write a little letter to the Director General of the BBC, and we'll see where that gets us.
I mean, it's talking to Jimmy Stewart, right? For talking Christmas films. Have you ever seen It's a Wonderful Life?
No, I haven't, no.
Again, I mean, that's a film that you should watch. That's a definite have to tick that one off. I didn't watch that for years. And eventually, I worked with this guy who... was a film producer, and he was talking to me about it, and I said, oh no, I've never seen it. And he sent it to me that Christmas and said, there's a little gift for you, you must watch it. And again, it's a lovely film. I mean, there's some great moments in it that you'll know because you've seen
it. It's supposed to be a bit of a tearjerker, isn't it?
It's a full-on Christmas tearjerker. But it's a film that you should watch, you know. There's lots of these films. I've never seen... I don't know if it's called White Christmas, but the one that song's from. Never seen that. Bing Crosby in it. That's a film that you should probably watch.
No, but I just sort of feel like last year was depressing enough without capping it off by watching The Sound of Fucking Music and all that other really depressing crap.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of these films have got like, they can cheer you up. Have you ever seen Singing in the Rain?
No, I'm familiar with the main scene of it. I've seen that enough times, but not the whole film.
It's a great film. Very funny. It's a very funny film. I mean, I didn't see the film. I took my grandparents for their diamond wedding anniversary. We took them to go and see the stage show because they loved the film. I'd never seen the film. And the stage show was great. And so I thought, oh, what's the film? Yeah, there's a film that you should watch.
Do you know, I remember this story right, that you took them to go and watch this for their anniversary and they all came back home absolutely drenched?
Well, we were quite near the front and you do get quite wet. Yeah.
Do they warn you you'll get wet?
I think so, but I don't think we told my grandparents that they were going to get a bit wet.
Your poor grandparents probably dressed up to the nines, all their finery for their big anniversary, and they get fucking soaked.
My granddad thought it was fucking hilarious. The At the start of a new year, Ben, I like to look at what people are predicting. Of course, who knows what can happen these days with the way the world's gone.
Yes, we always like to do this, and it's always good column fillers for the newspapers on a slow day.
Well, of course, the favourite person is Jemima Packington.
I remember her well from our radio days.
Who uses asparagus to see...
Now, if I remember rightly, she's referred to as an asparamancer.
Asparamancer, yeah.
There we go.
Which is a Tina Turner song, I think. she's always my favourite because, you know, anyone can look at tea leaves, anyone can look at a crystal ball. She's Britain's only asparamancer, so yeah. We've got to look at her. I thought what I'd do first is have a look at what she predicted for 2020.
Okay, and we'll judge her accuracy.
Yeah. So she predicted that Trump would win a second term.
Wrong.
She predicted...
Or is it?
Well, we don't know. She did say he would, however, face impeachment again, and this time it would be carried through. So maybe in the next few days, he might turn the election round and then be impeached. Who knows?
Could still happen.
Brexit will happen smoothly and will not, and will not cause the problems that are anticipated.
Okay.
She also said a real shake-up of the major political parties would take place sooner than expected. I don't think there are any major political shake-ups. Well, I suppose there were. I mean, we had a new Labour leader, didn't we, I suppose? And
Does Dominic Cummings walking out count as a big political shake-up? I mean, he was effectively the most powerful man in the country, Dominic Cummings.
I think we're looking for things that aren't there in a prediction, aren't we, really?
I think we're trying to help her out a bit. The asparagus has obviously let her down drastically here.
Well, let's see. Here's one that I think was very close. She said there will be continued turmoil within the royal family, and this would result in certain members being precluded from royal duties and have privileges withdrawn, but the sovereign would prevail.
That, you see, the thing that let her down there is the use of the word continued. That isn't really a prediction. She knew in 2019 this was happening and unlikely to be resolved quickly. So I think that's a bit of an easy one.
Okay, well, you've given her a hard time, aren't you?
Well, I've got to scrutinise her properly.
Okay. I mean, I don't know how you feel about this one. There'll be a resurgence of independent retailers and smaller shops.
I mean, she couldn't have got that more wrong if she tried.
Shop local will start to mean something again. Just shop started to mean something again, didn't it?
Yeah, she's got that 100% wrong.
Okay, one more. She said the Vale of Evesham asparagus would be heralded as the most prized vegetable worldwide. It may have done, but I didn't hear it.
That's just a shameless grab for publicity, isn't it?
Right, so should we have a look at our predictions for 2021?
Well, I've got to say now, I mean, it's kind of taken the sting out of 2021's predictions because she's got absolutely nothing right.
Well, let's see what Mystic Veg has to say.
Mystic Veg,
Mystic Veg, right. So she's predicted that foreign travel will become will become an occasional option rather than the annual norm.
I mean, again, it's an easy one, isn't it? It's an open goal.
Extremes of weather will continue with tropical storms becoming more frequent.
Extremes of weather will continue. What, summer and winter, you mean? Yeah.
The seasons.
I've got a funny feeling we will get that.
Here's one.
Gusts?
No. Here's one that you can't possibly argue with that could come true. The name Gus will become a popular baby name in 2021.
What an oddly specific thing to predict.
Yeah, I mean, is there any famous Gusses?
I can't name a single famous Gus ever.
No. The only Gus I can think of is Gus Caesar, who played for Arsenal in the mid-90s.
Gustavo Fring, the bad guy in Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can't think of any people called Gus.
No.
So maybe that's the thing. Maybe people will start to think, you know, we're just bored of names that we hear all the time. There's not many Gusses. Let's get some Gusses on the go.
Not to offend anyone called Gus, but I think it's quite an ugly name, don't you?
Gus. It's not Gus. A great name.
Yeah.
It sounds like it should be short for something. I mean, as you said, like, was it Gustavo, I suppose?
Gustavo, yeah.
But if you're just calling someone Gus, yeah, it's not a great name.
Right. What else?
She forecast, this is about the COVID-19 pandemic, she forecast that although the impact of COVID-19 will still be felt around the world, the vaccines will bring a return to normal by June 2021, although not a return to pre-pandemic days.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I think that's fair. That could happen.
She also says the world's population will become kinder and more tolerant as a result of the pandemic, and governments will be more beholden to the will of their people.
Well, time will tell, I suppose.
Okay. She's got a prediction for the royal family. Again, remember what she said last year, that there was going to be turmoil. This year, she says it's going to be pretty grim for the royals. At least two divorces will happen. And Harry will return to the UK on his own in March, when he will be advised there will not be an extension to his current terms.
Okay, I don't know what that means, but since she's kind of given a bit of away a spoiler as to one of the divorces there, hasn't she?
Well, I guess so, yeah. She basically saying Harry and Meghan will split.
I doubt it.
Well, who would the other one be? I mean, you're not going to say Wills and Kate, surely.
Liz and Philip.
I mean, that would be the real shocker, wouldn't it? The year Philip turns 100, like on his 100th birthday, Liz just goes, hey, that's it, it's over. She says, we can also expect a spate of ill health amongst royals of all ages, and adds the Queen will make an important announcement in June to coincide with her official birthday, perhaps hinting that she may hand power to Charles. She ain't going to do that. That's just not going to happen. She's always said that that's not going to happen. She's the Queen till the day she shuffles off this mortal coil.
Yes, I think you're right with that one. Mind you, I shouldn't take your word for it. You've thrown no asparagus anywhere.
Well, I don't really like asparagus. It makes your fish smell, doesn't it?
It does, yes.
She also says there will be no second Scottish referendum.
Well, I wouldn't have thought so. This year, anyway.
Well, there we are. There's her predictions. All I can say is watch this space, really.
Yes, I guess so. Did you say watch this space or watch the asparagus? Oh, hang on a minute. I see what she's done.
What?
What are the last three letters of asparagus?
Gus.
Gus.
There we go. That's where she got it from.
Crafty bitch.
Well, the other person, of course, well known for predictions is Nostradamus.
Yes.
Who didn't use asparagus. That was
shocker.
That wasn't his medium. It was more poetry was his way of getting across his prophecies. He's predicted a few things for 2021.
Has he? When did he do that?
Back in the 1550s. So a long time ago.
Is it fair to say that Nostradamus was really not predicting the future, and people have just taken his work and forced it to fit predictions for the future?
Oh, it's a bit cynical, Ben.
Is it?
Well, let's see what he's got to say, shall we?
Go ahead.
This is a prediction for 2021. I mean, obviously, people do have to read. See, I've never seen his work, so I don't know whether he writes a date 2021 and then puts in his predictions. I don't know how he sets them out. But obviously, he writes a bit of sort of poetry, and then people will obviously look into that. So, I mean, he's hinting heavily in 2021 of a great evil disease that renders sufferers half dead, that we're almost going to become zombies.
He's about a year off.
It's a pestilent she-monster, a plague, will cause all the world to end, he wrote.
Well, I mean, if he'd said that about 2020, I'd have given it more credence, but yeah, he's a bit late with that one.
The thing about Nostradamus is he never predicts anything good. Have you noticed that? Like, whenever Nostradamus is mentioned, it's always something. I mean, I'm looking through. I'm not going to spend much time on Nostradamus because it is absolute bullshit.
Oh, good.
But these are what people say. So he's predicting that we're all going to become fucking zombies, right? There's going to be a global famine, solar storms and a meteor strike, AI robots launch a revolution, an earthquake's going to rock America, and there's going to be cyborg soldiers. Oh, and then, to top it all off, the death of a world leader will spark World War III. Well, fucking hell, Nostradamus, give us some light amongst the dark, will ya?
I mean, he was, in the 1500s, he was predicting the rise of AI cyborgs. This has got to be bollocks.
Well, I'll tell you what he wrote, shall I? And this is obviously, again, what people read into it. He wrote, the moon in the full of night over the high mountain, the new sage with a lone brain sees it, by his disciples invited to be immortal, eyes to the south, hands in bosoms, bodies in the fire. Now that's being...
I didn't hear the words artificial intelligence, I didn't hear cyborgs. What a load of bollocks. We'll be right back.
Well, there we are. That's it. The first one of 2021 out the way. Again, I feel that we started the year by covering quite a lot of different topics there, Ben. And again, to go back to that question we asked earlier, who are we aiming this at? Well, anyone who will listen.
Yeah, if you've had the tolerance to sit through this meandering, strange, garbled mess of a conversation, then credit to you.
Well, we normally finish with a couple of recommendations. We've obviously recommended a few things throughout the podcast already. Just a couple of films that I have watched that I think are really good and well worth a watch if you haven't already seen them. A film called The Fundamentals of Caring.
Okay.
Which is on Netflix. It stars Paul Rudd.
Yeah, I love Paul Rudd. He's very good.
It's a great film. He plays sort of a carer to a kid with disabilities and they go on a road trip. And again, it's a very heartwarming but funny film. And that's well worth a watch. And another film I saw, which I think was on Channel 4 over Christmas, and it's on their catch-up, I think, still. It's an old film, about 10 years old, a film called Faint Heart, which is it's just ridiculous. It's about this group of Viking reenactors. And one of the main guys, he's got his marriage has fallen apart. And it's sort of about him winning back his former wife and getting close to his son again. And just very, very funny. So that's well worth a watch if you've never seen it. You just look for something a little bit different. You know, a lot of films, I mean, I get to the point now where I watch a lot of film trailers and I just think, well, I've sort of seen this film before. I know, you know, it's basically you running around with a gun. You know what I mean? I've seen a lot of films and these are just, they're just a bit different.
Okay. I would also like to ask you to keep me up to date with the story of the Thornton Heath poltergeist. I would like to hear more on that as you read the book. I'm not suggesting you should read it in a week.
it's quite a big book. I mean, there's quite a lot of stuff about this poltergeist that I need to find out. So, as I said, I didn't even know there was a book about it, and I certainly didn't think there'd be a book this thick about it. So there's obviously a lot going on there, so I'm very much looking forward to getting stuck into it.
Also, if you're listening to this, I'd love to know, because what the consensus is, would you appreciate someone knocking on your door and giving you a book detailing the haunting of your house, or would it freak you out? Let us know.
Yeah, how would you feel if you found out someone had died in your house?
That's are you asking me, or are you throwing that out there as another question?
There, but you didn't answer that earlier. I don't know if I asked you, but you said that you can be very sure that nobody died in your house. But how would you feel if you knew somebody had?
I don't think I'd mind. I think in the scheme of things, over the last few thousand years, people have basically died everywhere. So it's probably unlikely that someone hasn't died close to where you live or indeed in your house.
And I'm also of the opinion... then perhaps a poltergeist is a slightly different paranormal being, but I sort of think that if in my house there was any sort of ghost or paranormal being, it would be a benevolent being.
Okay.
I would have nothing to fear of any kind of thing going on in my house, really. It might, you know, I've lived here 16 years, I've not encountered anything, but if I did, I don't think it would, it might make me jump or unnerve me for a little bit, but I don't think I'd have anything to be frightened of.
Well, that's a reassuring thing, I suppose.
Yeah. So, it wouldn't worry me. I mean, I suppose they can hurt people if they exist. I mean, they may not exist at all.
Well, but, I'm pretty sure you know my feelings on that.
Yeah. But, I mean, the Enfield haunting, that was a slightly poltergeist affair, and it allegedly would scratch, I think, and hurt people. So, you know, they're not all benevolent, I suppose. But it's an interesting topic. Anyway.
Some things I've got to recommend this week that I've seen, they're all mainly film-based. It was a film called Escape Game on Netflix. I like this because, you know, big fan of escape games in general. This one is obviously a horror film, so it's a bit darker than your average escape game. It was pretty good. I'm not going to say it was the best film ever, but it was pretty good. And there seems to be a lot of films around called Escape Room, Escape Plan, Escape Game, but it is the newest one. That was pretty good. I'm a bit late to the show on this one, but I finally got around to watching El Camino, the Breaking Bad spin-off film to sort of explain what happened to Jesse. I watched that last night, 2 hours long. I absolutely loved it. I just felt the ending was a little bit inconclusive in a way. I just felt it was a little bit of a meh final five minutes.
Okay.
But other than that, you've seen it.
I have seen it. I can't remember the ending. I can't remember. I mean, I'm assuming that they probably left it fairly open-ended so that they can choose to pick it up should they wish to.
That may well have explained why it's a bit of a meh final 5 minutes. But no, other than that, highly enjoyed it. Really, really good. And one more quick thing to recommend, which I have seen and is on Netflix and is absolutely brilliant. It's from Charlie Brooker, so you know it's going to be good. It's called Death to 2020.
Yes, I haven't watched it yet. I've seen it advertised. It looks very good.
It's absolutely brilliant. It's a nice way to say fuck off to the year 2020.
All right, well, I look forward to seeing that. Well, there we are. That's it for this week. Thanks very much for listening and downloading. If you want us to talk about anything or get in touch with us about absolutely anything, we're at Trev and Ben on Twitter, and we will catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, and take it easy.
Bye.